Now, I'm going to cut the same deal with y'all that I cut with Lowry's a long time ago when I first came. If you can't hear me, you folks back in the back, if I get too low and you can't hear me, you can do one of two things. Raise your hand or turn your hearing aid up. Okay? But it's good to be here back with you. This is the second time I came back for a homecoming service. They invited me several years ago, sometime afterwards that I had left. I told Brother Mac, Sun Life Baptist is the name of the church that I'm in Clover. And First Baptist Church, we had been working together, praying together about a work that they wanted to do in the Clover area. We had been talking for about a year and praying about it. So the Lord led me to meet with them on a Tuesday night. That Tuesday night, I said yes to First Baptist in Clover that I would go out and do the work. And then on Wednesday evening, I had been here a couple of Sundays before. This was the deal. They had Brother Joe Clayton had already left, and he was gone. So they had two pastors that they were going to have come in and speak, and they would speak for a month, and then they were going to choose between the two of us, between the two of them. I wasn't in the picture. So the first pastor was working with another church over in Chester, way down at the jumping off point. He decided he would take that church down there. And he calls me up on a Saturday afternoon and he says, "Steve," and I said, "Yes." And he says, "What are you doing?" And I told him what I was doing. He said, "No, I'm not talking about that. What are you doing tomorrow, Sunday?" And I says, "Well, I plan to go to church." And he says, "Well, good." He says, "I need you to fill in for me at Lowry's Baptist Church." Now, he was going to be a fill-in here, okay? But anyway, that's the way it worked. The strange thing that all of it came together and fell together was it was a God thing, had to be. Brother Terry Wingate was the first person y'all were going to have come for a month in June. And then you had another man that was going to come in July. I never met the other man. Sometime around the middle of June, his wife called and said he had had a massive heart attack and wouldn't be able to be here at all. So that they came to me and said, "Would you do July too?" And I said, "Well, yeah, we'll just keep on." And that's the way it started, okay? So that's all right. Lord had better plans than any of us did. If you have your copy of God's Word, I want to invite you to turn to the most dangerous psalm in the Bible. The most dangerous psalm in the Bible. Now, I know all of you know where that most dangerous psalm is. And I think the sweetest sound on earth is also God's people opening up His Word to read it. Bound to be the sweetest sound on earth. The psalm that I'm talking about is Psalm 23, the 23rd psalm. It is the most dangerous. You say, "Well, why is it the most dangerous?" Well, we're so familiar with it. Christians and non-Christians alike are familiar with the 23rd psalm. Matter of fact, they are so familiar with the verses, but they have no idea or understanding of what the 23rd Psalm is trying to convey, the message that is there. And there are numerous messages in the 23rd Psalm. Many people have memorized it. They know it by heart. Maybe they learned it as a child. All six verses, and it's just six verses after all. But do you know what it says? Or how about this? Do you know what it means? the 23rd Psalm. Do you remember 9-1-1? Who can forget that? When we were attacked as Americans and the World Trade Centers were under attack? Do you remember the aftermath and all the memorial services that were going on? News media was breaking into several of those memorial services at different times. And as they were breaking into them, a lot of the pastors or speakers were quoting the 23rd Psalm. This psalm is dangerous because Christians and non-Christians are so familiar with it. But they have little understanding of what it means. I'm going to put my cheaters on. Y'all mind? I got to have cheaters. You know what I'm talking about? To get a handle on a scripture, a person needs to read it and reread it and reread it and reread it. And sometimes when you're going to speak on a certain passage of scripture, that individual more than likely has to read it not just 10 times, but up to 50 times. I'm sure your pastor has to read and reread and reread and reread the passages that he's going to be speaking on every Sunday. And it's not just once in a blue moon. It's every Sunday we go before people and we try to bring the Word of God that he lays on our hearts. Each time a believer, each time a Christian reads the 23rd Psalm, I think that the Holy Spirit gives you another layer of understanding. Amen. The more you read it, the more you read it, the more understanding you will have of it. And that Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you, and he will begin to show you things that you never, ever saw before. It's like an onion, the skins or layers of an onion that are just being peeled back one at a time. And you begin to have some understanding of what the psalmist David is trying to convey to the nation of Israel. David is not speaking or writing to us in this 23rd Psalm. He's not writing to us from the perspective of a shepherd, even though he could. After all, he was a shepherd of sheep at a young age. I'm sure his dad tested him, tried him, and put him out there with a little flock of sheep and says, "Okay, take care of them, David. You know what a shepherd is supposed to do. Take care of my sheep." But I want to read right now the 23rd Psalm, and I'm going to be using the English Standard Version. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." We all need to be restored, folks. What a sweet, sweet verse that is in the middle of this, in the beginning of this psalm. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David is not writing from the perspective of being a shepherd. After all his years of experience, he could. But he didn't. Did you catch it, the very first verse? Look what David says in this very first verse. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Do you see what David has done? In perspective of a flock of sheep, what is David? Is he a shepherd or is he a what? He's a sheep. All right, speak up. You don't have to worry about me. I'm used to folks talking back at me, you know. I got folks that like to talk back. I'll ask a question, man, they'll come up with an answer, whether it's right or not. They'll just come up with an answer. But anyway, did you catch it? David is writing from a sheep's perspective. King David himself. He is the king of Israel, and he is writing from the perspective of being a sheep. Did you know that the Bible describes the people of God as sheep? If you're a born-again child of God today, if you've been washed in the blood of God, blood of Jesus, you are a sheep. Don't you get that in your mind? You are a sheep. You're not the shepherd, you're a sheep. And we're going to be looking at some traits of what a sheep is in a little bit. And I hope none of you get upset, because I'm going to say something some of you might take the wrong way. But I want you to know this. A king of a nation, the king of the greatest nation that's ever been raised up, King David, considered himself a sheep in God's flock. Did you know that the Bible describes over 100 times that God's people are sheep? Even Jesus says, "My people, my sheep hear my voice and follow me." Psalm 23 verse 1 is the theme of the Psalm 23. It's the theme work. The very first verse, what it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verses 2, 3 through 6 go on to amplify what that verse means. Goes on and begins to explain exactly what it means to have the Lord as your shepherd. "He supplies me with everything I need." It's what David was declaring here. Psalm 23 is a cliff note. How many of y'all know what cliff notes are? Oh, I see some of y'all use them things. Just like I did. I had to. A cliff note is this. A cliff note takes an 800-page book and condenses it, brings it down to an 80-page read, that if you read it carefully, you can actually write a report to turn in and get a decent grade. I did, didn't you? Some of you did the same thing with those cliff notes. You see, the 23rd Psalm is a cliff note of the entire Christian life. It's what the Christian is supposed to be about. It's who we are. My shepherd is what David says. The Lord is my shepherd. David is calling himself a sheep. You need to understand that. You need to get a hold of that. Because I'm going to talk about some traits, four traits of a sheep. Four traits. There are four traits of a sheep. And I hope none of you will take it personally. I hope you won't get upset and say, "That man's crazy." The first trait that we have for a sheep is dumb. The better word for that sheep is a sheep is stupid. Now, that's the best word. A sheep is stupid. You go to a circus or you go to like SeaWorld and you can see any kind of animal pretty much there is that can be trained to do an act. You'll see horses and seals, dogs, cats, parakeets, lions, tigers, whales, dolphins, all kinds of animals you'll see there, and they can do tricks. They are trained to do tricks, but there's one animal that cannot be trained to do a trick. You know what it is? What is it? Y'all know. A sheep. You never see a sheep doing an animal trick. Never. You know why? He's stupid. Sheep are stupid. Dumb. That sheep, bless its heart, it's not his fault. God created that sheep to be like he is, or she is. Stupid, yes. But they are created by God to be that. Why? So that that sheep will be solely and completely dependent on the shepherd. God wants us totally, solely, completely dependent on him. Because we are his sheep of his flock. He wants you to be dependent on him. You want your daily bread? Pray for it. You want daily strength? Pray for it. Ask God to give you that daily strength and that daily bread. Sheep need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. You need a shepherd. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have no shepherd yet. But there is a possibility that you can have him, that you will have him before you close your eyes on this earth and breathe your last breath. A sheep need a shepherd to lead them through the pitfalls and the quagmires of life. We are dumb. We are stupid. How do I know that? Because I say dumb and stupid things. Because I'm a sheep. Things like, why did I say that? That was stupid. Why in the world did I do that? That was stupid. What was I thinking? That was stupid. Can't you see David, king of Israel, walking around in the palace now? This is after the fact of Bathsheba. Can you imagine David walking around in the palace now? And he's walking around and he's received word from Bathsheba. I'm pregnant and you the daddy. Can you imagine what David must have been saying to himself? Dumb. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. To himself. Is what I am, is what David would say. Stupid. I'm dumb. And that's what we have to say of ourselves as well. Now, I'm not calling anybody stupid in here that I'm not calling myself first, okay?
Go ahead.
But the shepherd, the sheep need a shepherd to lead them to those green meadows and to those quiet waters so that they can find rest, so that they can be have some nourishing water, cooling, soothing water provided for them. I need the shepherd to lead me every day in every way. Every day. Not only are sheep stupid, but sheep are dirty. Sheep are dirty. You see, there's very little rainfall in Israel. And the pastures that these sheep graze on, well, these pastures are pretty well, grassless. Very little grass. Mostly dirt because they're so overgrazed by all the shepherds that are bringing sheep into those pastures. And the sheep move about. And as they move about, they stir up dust. You ever been around sheep? You ever been around any kind of animal? As they're moving around in an area, a corral or whatever, and fist dirt, they'll actually stir up the dirt and the dust and everything in the air. Well, the problem with a sheep is it's got this fleece, and the longer the fleece is, the more dust it collects. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about, dust in your home. You know, my wife fusses about dust in the house all the time. Can't believe it's so dusty here. But the dirt and the dust would accumulate in the sheep's fleece, and when it gets wet, it becomes a burden for the sheep. And a sheep cannot clean itself. You and I can take a bath. Sheep can't. They don't. I watched a YouTube documentary a few weeks ago, some weeks ago now, of this sheep that could not get up. The shepherd tried as he might to get her up and couldn't. So he employs a couple of other strong men, and they all three get in there and try to lift this sheep up to keep her from dying. Still, they cannot get her up. Three grown men cannot get one sheep up on her feet. So the shepherd says, the only thing that we can do to save her is to cut her fleece off. So they begin to cut her fleece off. Her wool. Now that wool is full of dirt, full of dust. It's probably gotten wet from some moisture from somewhere, and it's really become just a muddy mess for that ewe lamb, ewe sheep. They cut the fleece off. They weighed the fleece when they cut it off, and it weighed no less than 420 pounds. No wonder she couldn't get up. No wonder she was so burdened down. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Just one sin in your life will burden you and take you down to where you cannot get up on your own. You need a shepherd to come along and clean you up. You need to do like I have to do every day. As I am confessing my sins before him, he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. I have to do it every day. Thank God he's there to clean us up. The shepherd must shear them. I must be sheared of my sin and my wrongdoing. We are dirty people. Did you know that? We dirty people. We dirty sheep. We have wicked, evil desires. Comes from our own sin nature. Our thinking is corrupted. Our actions and our gestures that we make. The words that we speak, what we hear, what we see with our eyes is wicked. I worked for a long time in a school district. And the young boys and girls, I'm talking about teenagers, spoke worse words than the men that I served with in the United States Army. We got young children, we got kids that can say some of the awfulest things you've ever heard in your entire life. And I wouldn't want you to hear it, but they out there and they will tell it to you in a heartbeat. It was filth and it was repulsive. You see, we can't clean our minds. You can't clean your mind. I can't clean mine. I can't clean up my thoughts. I can't clean up my language. We need a Savior. We need a shepherd who will clean us up. Are you willing to be cleaned up? Are you asking to be cleaned up? David continues and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Oh, what a shepherd. Oh, what a Savior we have to forgive my sins, past, present, and future. Romans 8, 1 and 2 begins to teach us and says to it, Paul says, "I am no longer in condemnation because of Jesus Christ and He alone. It's not because of anything I do. It's not because of any good that I have within me. It's all because of what Christ is doing in and through me." And no one can say that they have no sin. Because if they say they have no sin, then they are calling them, they're calling God a liar. Third trait. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. Without a shepherd, they're defenseless. Other animals have defenses. A rattlesnake can start rattling his tail, and he's telling you and me, "You're too close, stupid. Back off. Get away from me. I'm dangerous. If I strike and if I hook flesh in you, I'm really going to make you sick, maybe kill you." Dogs bark and show their ivories. Lions roar. Bears stand up and growl. Dolphins can take their noses and bump you out of the way in a massive force. Cats can claw you. You ever made a cat mad? They ain't declawed, they'll show you what they'll do to you. Chickens have nails. Long nails. Remember when I was a child, I was with my granddad in his barn, and he was down there feeding animals, and there was this old mama hen, and she had a bunch of little chick, baby chicks around her, and I went back and tried to pick up one of those chicks. Now, I didn't have a shirt on at that time. I was a little young fella and didn't wear no shirts, around the farm and stuff. That chicken rode me out of that barn. She was on my back and she was digging in with gusto. And I was getting away from her and everything as fast as I possibly could. Horses can stomp and kick and buck, but sheep are defenseless. And they need a shepherd to fight for them, to defend them against the enemy, to rescue them when we get into all kinds of deep troubles over our heads. When we say and do the wrong things, we need a shepherd. And David here is declaring, "The Lord is my shepherd." Do you know the Lord is your shepherd? Do you know Him as your shepherd? And do you consider yourself as a sheep? I do, and I'm glad that I do. There's another trait to the sheep. Trait number four, sheep are prone to wander away, stray from their shepherd. They get lost. They dilly-dally around. They get off of course. They stay back, and they keep on staying back, and the flock moves on ahead, and they don't know. They look around, and nobody is around that they know. How about you? How about me? Don't we stray? Isaiah says it very well in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to our own ways. We have left God out of the picture altogether. We make plans. We devise plans. We sit down and we try to figure out every little detail of the plans that we make. Leaving God out. God might want you to go to the right, not to the left. He might want you to go straight down the middle and not start backing up just because somebody, you come to a door and they don't look like you. They don't smell like you. They don't dress like you. And you start backing up. God wants you to go straight ahead. Don't back down. Present the gospel. We forget the way back. You forget, I forget. I have learned, I used to laugh at older people. Now some of you are older than I am now. Okay? But I have forgotten a lot. I struggle a lot, more than I ever did. And I used to laugh at older people and say, God, did you hear what they said? They don't even know what they're talking about. And sometimes I feel like that sometimes myself. How about you? You ever felt like that? You don't know what you're talking about most of the time, some of the time? Sheep are prone to wander. They stray. They get off the course, just like I do, just like you do. And that's when it says in this verse down here, when we are wandering and when we have wandered away, verse 3 says it so wonderfully and so marvelously, He restores my soul. That's what your shepherd wants to do in your life today. Maybe you're here and you have wandered away. Yeah, you've been in church every Sunday. You've been here every Sunday. Maybe you're like the old fella that I knew when I was growing up. I never saw him serve on a committee. I never saw him do any kind of work around the church. I never heard or knew that he even taught a Sunday school class or any kind of class at all. But I want to tell you what he had. He had a row of them pins that would stretch from here all the way to the floor. Those yearly pins that said, you know, he never missed a Sunday. Now, there's a lot of people that never miss a Sunday. But they have wandered away from God. You see, that fella, all he wanted was one of those pins that said he never missed all year long. Perfect attendance. And that was his goal. I wonder if he had turned that goal around. And that goal had been, I want to be the most faithful servant God's got. I wonder what his life would have been. I wonder how many people he might have led to Christ. I wonder how many young Sunday school boys and girls he might have put on a straight path instead of the wide, broad path that many of them are traveling today. You see, we need a Savior. We need a shepherd. Like the song says, I've wandered far away from God. now I'm coming home. Never more to roam again. I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. How about you? Do you need to come home to the Lord today? You've wandered. You've gotten off course. I don't know why. Maybe COVID took you off course. And you looked around and said, well, everybody else is doing it, so I reckon it's all right for me to do it. Do you know his voice? Do you know that Jesus is your protector, your provider, and your defender? He's all of those things and much more. He is your Savior. He is your shepherd. And he will be your Savior. And he will be your shepherd if you do not know him today. If you don't have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come. Come here. Kneel, pray. Speak to your pastor. I'm sure he's got a prayer that he can lead you in that you will know before you leave this day that you have a shepherd. You have a Savior. And his name is Jesus Christ. Just doing what you think, is that all it's about? We've turned to our own ways. We're doing our own thing. We're going the way we think we should go. And Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way. Some people say, that's mighty narrow. Take it up with the Father in heaven. I'm just a messenger. I'm just his messenger. You don't like the message? Take it up with the one that gave the message. For the one who has that relationship with Jesus Christ, you know him personally, you know Jesus as your shepherd, and you're not embarrassed to be called a sheep. Bah. Bah. I got down pretty good, don't I? Taking me 70 years to get there, but I got it. This personal relationship we're talking about, it's unique and it's wonderful. And I'm going to tell you what will happen for the shepherd and his sheep. When you close your eyes on this earth, when you breathe your last and your heart stops beating, the last time, the last beat is beaten, the last breath has been drawn, and you close your eyes, do you realize the next sight that you're going to see? You're going to be looking into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that you're going to see when you open your eyes in heaven, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus. The next thing that's going to happen is you're going to be breathing some of the purest air you have ever breathed in your life. And you're going to be so glad that you had this personal relationship in Jesus and that you didn't mind being called a sheep. Stupid? Yeah. But I'm his sheep. I've been bought with a price. I've been born again. There's only two ways a shepherd receives sheep into a his flock. They have to be born into it. And we have to be born into God's flock. And we have to be bought. And we have been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. You are a blood bought, born again believer in Jesus. You are going to heaven. You will get there. If you are not, you won't be. If you are not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not born again, these verses that I read to you mean nothing and will not mean anything to you. They might be sweet, flowery words that might be spoken over your corpse when you die at a funeral service, but they won't mean anything to you. But if you know Jesus, the most glorious thing that's ever going to happen to you, the most glorious thing that you're ever going to experience, is when you open your eyes in that new heaven. And you breathe in that deep breath of clean, pure, heavenly air. And you're going to be shouting and singing, it was worth it all, it was worth it all. How about you? Do you know Jesus? I'm not talking about church affiliation. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. That won't get you anything. That may be $2 to get you a cup of coffee somewhere. But it won't help one bit when you stand before Almighty God and He asks you this question, what did you do with my son Jesus? And that's going to be the question. He's going to ask me. He's going to ask your pastor and his wife and my wife. He's going to ask every one of us, what did we do with his son Jesus? What have you done with his son Jesus? Is he your shepherd? Do you gladly own the name sheep? Sheep of God. Follower. Worshiper. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you give us these passages of Scripture that remind us who we are, keep us in the right path, the path of righteousness. Not for our sake, Lord, but for your name's sake, we are in the right path, on the right path. It's not because of who I am, but it's because I'm yours. Not because of what I've done, but it's because of what you've done. Not because of who you are. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are. Lord, if there's one person here today who does not have you as their shepherd, they may have taught Sunday schools before. They may have led in church training areas before. They may have stood up and give testimony after testimony after testimony, but in their hearts they know that they have never received you as Savior and Lord. I pray this today that they might come to know you as the great shepherd. I pray, Father, that they will begin to hear your voice and will step out and begin to follow you. Walk with them, Lord. Talk with them. Teach them and bring them right along as you are bringing all the rest of us along. We're on a journey, Father. The journey is sometimes hard, sometimes tedious. Sometimes it's just a flat-out struggle. But Lord, we can see you at the end. We are holding on to your hand, and you're leading us every step of the way. Father, I just pray that this be the day. This be the day. This homecoming day would be the day that they would say yes to Jesus and no to the devil. This would be the day that they would say, yes, Lord, I want you in my heart and life. I want you to be the shepherd and master of my life. Because there's going to be an even greater homecoming one of these days when we go home with Jesus and we are there forever. we'll move to our permanent addresses. And we'll give you the glory and the praise all the way. If just one person has heard this today, Lord, maybe they've heard it and yes, they are a believer, but they've wandered off of the path of righteousness. Lord, you want to bring them back. You want to restore their souls. And so, Lord, we beckon you. Speak to their hearts. Draw them to you. Retrieve them back to you. And begin again to work in their life the work that you want to do and that you promise you will do. That good work will be brought to a completion. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for this church in its 118th year of life and bringing life and eternal life to men, women, boys, and girls, wherever they may be. Whatever they may be doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.